Thankfully, from Otepoti, I'm glad we have some local korero here on the one. They've been in many a music group, many a band. They're currently known as Civil Talk. That's their sort of pseudonym. But they're putting out a new live music video series called War Possum TV, which is super exciting. We have Tane Cotton here to talk about War Possum TV and about what it's all about. The first video that's already been posted and a few other bits and pieces. Good morning to you, Tane. How are we?
Kia ora, Zach. Thank you for having me back.
As always, my pleasure.
I'm just wondering what the Swiss watch thing was about. Are they known for being super on time?
Have you not heard of that kind of comparison before? Yeah, Swiss watches are like, well, I mean, Rolex, Patek Philippe, you know, they're all very expensive, very finely tuned, precise watches.
Right, like a German car or...
Yeah, like, or a Japanese car.
A Chinese car.
Video game system or I don't know what else. I mean, it's crazy how Japan really took over the electronic sector in the 80s, but that's not the subject of conversation here. Do you drive?
Yes.
Yeah. What do you drive?
I drive a Japanese car.
Toyota? See, if I drove, because I can't, because I'm anxious. If I did, though, I would get Toyota. Safe? I mean, the mileage is crazy, right? The efficiency.
Yeah, I think the thing about Japanese cars is that, like, yeah, they're very cheap. They're very efficient.
They last forever.
And, like, when you need to fix them up, parts aren't expensive because they're not, like, bespoke, you know?
Yeah. I have a friend who has an awesome-looking BMW from the late 90s, early 2000s. You know, it's blocky. It's got all that aura, but it costs, like, thousands to fix because all the parts are super finicky and it's so pedantic.
Yeah, but anything for those Instagram photos, right?
I know. Anything for the... I was going to say for the huzz, if you're familiar with that term.
No,
H-U-Z-Z, you're not familiar with that?
Does it mean husband?
No, let's not get into it. That's too much brain rot for one morning. But we're here to talk about War Possum TV, which is super, super exciting. How did you name, how did you land on the name War Possum?
I just thought it was silly and fun.
Good combo of words.
Civil Talk's a little self-serious, like Civil Talk, you know. Mm. Yeah, it's just like, it was a name that I had in mind for Elephones that just didn't fit the vibe at all before we landed on Elephones. And it's just kind of stuck with me. I don't know why. It's just my brain. And I don't know, just like the sort of picture of just like a possum with, like, you know, crazy rabid face going nuts in Vietnam, you know, is a bit of a funny image to me. So, but yeah, you know, it's that's the end of my train of thought. Thank you for listening.
Funnily enough, it's carrying the possum in the logo is carrying a rocket launcher that has capacity for 4 missiles. Was that modeled after the Team Fortress 2 weapon or the Fortnite rocket launcher, or are you just modeling it after the Resident Evil
ones? At the end of those games, they always give you a rocket launcher to blow up the bad guy with. A lot of the time it's one of those ones. I just thought the RPG would just be, not that it'd just be a bit too basic, but I just thought it'd be slightly more interesting to do something weird. So I got my friend Ari. He's a exceptionally talented visual artist. He designed the logo for me from the most awful, like, toddler sketch that I've played.
No, it's a really cute logo. It's really, really sweet.
You did a great job.
I want to talk about, I guess, the kind of what it is that you are doing, because it's a fascinating thing to do, to capture live music in a sense, not at a gig, but music that's being captured to be catalogued and be watched at a later date and to be archived, really. What do you think is the role of a kind of War Possum type production in any kind of music ecosystem?
Well, in terms of live sessions, it's a really great way for bands to sort of, like, showcase, because a lot of, like, bands are just better live than they are
recorded
on the record, you know? So, like, getting a good quality capture of their live performance in, like, a controlled environment is, like, good, because, like, it's kind of an in-between, you know, vibe between like raucous energy of like a live concert and then just like the distilled, you know, production and all the takes from a studio thing. You're still forced to do it in one take and showcase your talents, but it's yeah, I don't know. And it's kind of like allows you to put them in an interesting space and like direct it almost like a music video. That's how I approached this first one with Uno Juno, and like the directing and editing to make it kind of like odd and not quite cinematic, but like you know, movement and interesting framing. So it gives it this weird sort of like visual flair, you know, that you don't get from live performance. I don't know. But it's also like a super useful like marketing tool for bands, like especially bands with little or no recorded music. And it's like the best like live footage you can find would be just sort of like low quality phone stuff online, you know, that might cut out, or there might just like not be any. Because I don't know why, but like here in Aotearoa, we're just like terrible at recording concerts. Like anytime I try to find like a video of any concert, there's just like one or none. And if it's before 2010, there's just none. I'm getting off track. But yeah, I think that the most important thing for why I wanted to do it here was for bands to be able to have that sort of representation of their live act. They can send it to festivals and promoters and you know, whoever, you know, distribution companies, or it can be used as both like entertainment and expression of art, and also as like, yeah, as like a tool for your career, you know. So I think it's just like kind of a good all-round win-win, and they're just fun, you know. You just get to sort of mess around in a room with people who make cool music.
I want to touch on that thing you said about not recording live concerts, because it's similar to a statement that you put out for this project, which is that, you know, a lot of bands, especially if they're, you know, poorer or smaller, just simply don't get captured or catalogued. And that, you know, connects with exactly what you said about not capturing many New Zealand bands and recording them. I mean, you've put out a live record, Barely Standing, from Pioneer Hall. When did you make the realization that there actually isn't that many catalogued or recorded live performances of bands in New Zealand?
Probably like a couple years ago, you know. I got into got obsessed with music. My music journey sort of properly started a little late. When I was like 14 was when I started listening to music. I got really obsessed with the band Muse.
Oh, yeah, dude, Absolution, great record.
Yeah, that's great.
Top tier record.
The first four are all amazing, and they just go downhill from there. I would just like watch all these live concerts because they're an incredible live band and they have so many amazing performances online. And so I started to get really into, every time I'd find a new band, I'd listen to an album and immediately look them up live to see what they sounded like. You know? I was obsessed with set lists and like, you know, festival stuff. And, you know, that's why I wanted the sort of visual look for War Possum, which we'll get to, I guess, to kind of like almost look like a festival broadcast, you know, with the little like song title names and the sort of like Y2K sort of home video almost look. Sorry, I actually went on such an aside that I forgot what the question was.
Oh, when did you realize there was sort of a vacuum for recorded live music in New Zealand?
Sorry, yeah. I did a project where I was putting together an edit, like a multicam of Muse playing at Big Day Out in 2010, which was the last time they played here. And it was really, really hard to find footage for it, and I just about eked it out. So I'd be looking up all these bands, and then touring band would come and play in Auckland, there would be no footage, and it's really sad because there's lots of really cool moments that I'd like to see. One that springs to mind is Slow Rage playing a song with Idols, you know, one of my favorite local bands playing with one of my favorite international bands. There's no footage online. It's just like, I don't know, it feels like for a lot of people, you have to have like a leg up, or you have to have your foot in the door already, or you have to know somebody, or you have to be selected to do a live to air or a session that's recorded at a certain famous musician's studio that got $200,000 to make a series of live videos, where it's like an exclusive club, right? You know,
yeah.
And they're all like, you know, trying to be high production value, and it's just a bit. What we've got isn't that great, you know.
Let's embrace it. Yeah.
Yeah, well, we want to embrace
low budget, lo-fi DIY type stuff.
Yeah, well, it's just we want to embrace the performance rather than the brand or, you know, the sort of,
the sort of culture brand. Of, you know, elitism almost.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like rather than like the idea of liking this band or like watching this session that's like all, you know, oh, we've got fancy cameras and lighting. you can still do stuff. I don't know. It's too early in the morning. I'm sorry. I'm just sort of rambling.
You're good. I do think there is one. I mean, there's some really, really awesome things that go into the production of War Possum. You mentioned before the Y2K sort of video setup, but I want to talk about the large mural in the intermission on this Uno Juno live to air, recorded performance. In the intermission, there's this large mural of a sketch of a big square guy in a suit with a small bald head. Is that Skuxen? Is that Christopher Skuxen?
Yes, it is.
Hell yeah.
I do want to apologize for going on a tangent about stuff that I could be much more concise about.
No, you too, bro.
What people would want to hear about is the weird shit that's in the video. But yeah, no, it's a vocal booth that me and Jono assembled out of like a big piece of like, I don't know, like drywall, not drywall, but like board. It's got a similar consistency to whiteboard. And I figured there needs to be something there. So I drew that. There was already a tie hanging on it. So yeah, I was like, oh, gotta do Mr. Square Headed Luxon.
Hell yeah, man.
I find something that nobody's mentioned to me yet, but something I find more interesting is the banner that Uno Juno made. Ramona like ordered this like a giant sheet. It was supposed to be like a white shower curtain, but it was see-through, so they had to hold it up in the sun, like at the end of the second or third song, I think. It just cuts to footage of them outside. I wanted to have something, something about that moment just feels like a lot. It adds to the home video vibe, you know. It's like, here's something we've created, and we're holding it out in the sun, sort of, you know. I don't know. This is too early, man.
Next time we'll book you on Drive. More clear-headed. Before we talk about anything else, I want to know, you know, what were some of the sort of the like-minded projects that inspired you for this? Was it Syrup Boys? I mean, there can be a comparison to Tiny Desk, although this is much more lo-fi, obviously, than Tiny Desk.
Yeah, I mean, I think Syrup Boys is great. You know, it's a shame that they're not still going. Not really a big influence, but definitely sort of like the vacuum was, because I think that they were sort of the first people that I know about to do that in Oti Puti, you know, to give it a real go. Which I respect them a lot for. A lot of it just comes from like bands doing their own ones. There's one in Wellington called Anki Live. They've done Dropper and a couple others that don't come to mind right now. You know, different environments and very high production value, but it's got a lot of heart. That's what I was trying to say before, is that a lot of them don't have much heart, and that it's kind of not really a quantifiable feeling. You know, but some of them just feel more commercial.
Yeah, or treated like almost a film if they're on video as well.
You know? Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, you want it to make it visually interesting as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, and KEXP is a big one. I just love those sessions. Just like good vibes all around. They've got a cool room. A lot of the KEXP at home ones from COVID, you know, bands putting on their own sort of versions and making their own sets, I think, you know, it has a lot of heart as well. So just like anything of just like people just making stuff with the resources they can. But yeah, the various sort of creative projects like that were inspirations. But there wasn't really one thing in particular. It was just kind of an amalgamation of like, this is what I want to do. And I just kind of fell upwards into the style that it ended up being.
Oh, it's a very, very cool style, man. It's very gloomy. It's very weird. It's very glitchy. And it feels very candid. Like, there's that moment where you're capturing Stefan from You Know Do You Know, just, like, stutter for ages, and he's just like, oh,
that was Jack, actually.
Oh, Jack. Yeah, okay, sorry. I don't know these people very well at all.
Yeah. He brought in a guitar that he was painting and was getting people to draw on. And
yes.
Simona drew, like, a terrifying mouth on it. Yeah, but sometimes artists shouldn't be allowed to draw things because, you know, they'll just casually just create man-made horrors beyond
your comprehension. Yeah,
and it's too early for me to be speaking, man. I'm so sorry.
You're chill, bro. Is there more on the way? When can we expect the next installment of Warpos on TV?
Probably 3 weeks.
Cool.
Doing one every month is the goal. Got one booked in, and I'm not going to say what band, but it's very exciting. And that's going to be shooting and recording in a week and a half from now. I want it to have a very quick turnaround because I've had a lot of experience and a lot of anecdotal secondhand experience of people doing things like this or doing recording sessions that are like sort of fun. Because I'm not charging the bands. I'm accepting Koha, but I'm doing it all for free and then paying for mastering. Because why would I charge them if I'm, you know, I don't know. It's a win-win because I get to make cool stuff and with my friends and it's fun.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
What was I saying again?
The next one. It'll take 3 weeks. You've got a quick turnaround.
Quick turnaround, you know, it's just like straight to editing, straight to mixing and mastering, just getting it done quick because people wait around a lot. Like,
yeah,
I did a recording one time that was provided for free and didn't get the stems back for a year. And it's like, that's just way too long. People are used to being effed around.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be like, you know, hey, here's the thing. And it doesn't mess with bands' timelines as well, because you got to have a timeline. Everyone has sort of an idea of, like, what they're going to do at least in the next couple months, like gigs, music videos, releases, whatever. And you don't want it to be clashing with anything. So for it to pop up out of nowhere, you know, with no contact.
Yeah.
So, you know, maintaining constant communication and building something collaboratively with the artists and not just going off and doing my own thing, you know, and doing it quickly. That's what I want Warpossum to stand for. I want it to be collaboration and making art and doing it efficiently. You know, it's not about getting it done quick. So it's like, you know, the most value, but it's just like, you know, you can't just be stuck on the same thing for ages and not, you know, sitting on creative projects sucks. So, if you're trying to make something and you're stuck, just finish it, even if you hate it.
Amen. Just get it out there. Thank you so much for your time and coming on the program this morning, Tane. I really, really appreciate it. Do you have any final thoughts, words, considerations to leave our lovely listeners with?
Yeah, thank you for having me. And anybody who's still listening, go watch the Warpossum Uno Juno session. It's far more interesting than me talking.
You can find that on YouTube if you just look up Warpossum TV.
Warpossum TV and at Warpossum TV on Instagram. There will be more.
Awesome. Can't wait to see it, man. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, folks. That was Tane Cotton. We're talking to Tane about Warpossum TV, a new recorded music video series that they've been working on. And hopefully we'll see another one come around in 3 weeks. I'm going to hold Tane to that. We're going to play some Uno Juno. Here is Uno Juno with All Everything. You're listening to The One. We'll wrap up the show pretty soon. Keep it locked.
That was a Radio 191 event podcast. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz/podcast.